to talk about fathers today, but I want to do it in a little bit different way, maybe. I guess there's some fathers that, or some pastors that are going to talk about this story today, but it's the story of the prodigal son. And we're going to talk about it in the thought process of looking at the son, but we're also going to look at the characteristics of the father that is there. And I prayed hard. You know, I don't like doing... You always talk about fathers and Father's Day, and there's, you know, there's only so much you can say about fathers that hasn't been said over the years that most of us have been in church, you know, and so we've heard all of the Father's Day messages and doing those things, so hopefully today will be a little bit different, but these characteristics that I'm going to talk about today, I want us to look at our lives as children of God, children of the Father, the attitude of the Son. There's three different attitudes and three different times that we're going to talk about his thought process in the story. And we're going to talk about the three different processes and thought the different characteristics that God showed to his Son, or that the Father in this story shows to the Son. Jesus told this story as a parable so that we could understand some things. Again, if you've ever heard me talk about the prodigal son and the story, then you know that I look at the prodigal son story in a different way than a lot of people do. I believe that he was talking the whole story to bring about the point of the son, the other son that was there, and how he looks at the people that come to Christ. Some of you know there's some people that follow God their whole life, done everything right, and then get frustrated when people that haven't come into the kingdom. He's like, well, I would never do that. Well, let's look back at our lives and think about the people that we've looked at and how we've treated people that have come in the door that are still really messed up, but coming in the door. One of the things I love about our church here is the fact that everybody that I've talked to feels welcome when they come in the door, regardless of whether they've been coming to church for a long time or just trying to find him for the first time. And that's something that's super important. And that's in my opinion, why God showed us this story, although there's another lesson that he taught in it. And hopefully I'll be able to bring that out good today. My voice is a little on the messed up side, so every now and then I might have to take a swig of water. And those of you that are like, man, your voice is hurting me right now, I'm sorry for that. But no, I got some mints right here, and I got water and stuff, but thank you. Anyway, let's read the story. Now, on your notes, look at your notes. You know how I am about consistency. If you look down at Luke, where it says on the second line, it says Luke chapter 11. It's supposed to say Luke chapter 15. There you go. 17 through 19 is what it's supposed to say there. For some reason, I was putting this story in. Every time I opened my Bible to look at this story this week, I looked at Luke chapter 11. Like, oh, no, wait, it's chapter 15. So it just kind of spilled over into this, but that's okay. It says this. It says, and he said there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. So just for a second, I want us to understand something. This is not the custom of the day. This is not the custom of today either. This is something that the son was asking that should have never happened. How many of you know an inheritance comes after you die? And I want to say something to people. I've heard this, and I've heard my father said this too before. I've seen bumper stickers, and they're kind of funny. You know how many of you do some funny bumper stickers? It's not real, but it says, I'm spending my kids' inheritance. Just so you know, that's not scriptural. No, I'm serious. Just so you know, that's not scriptural. It says a godly man, a good man, leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So grandchildren. So in thinking that, and I love what Aaron brought about here a couple of weeks ago. Actually, I said a couple of weeks ago. It's been a whole bunch of weeks ago. But he brought out the fact that all the inheritance that you give to your kids is not always stuff and money. It's what you instill into them. But this is what this son says. He comes at this time, and he says, I want everything that belongs to me that you have. That's what he says. And this is what it says. Now, the father did it. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. Again, understanding the culture, pigs were the nastiest, dirtiest things that were not supposed to be messed with or dealt with or even touched. And he's the one that's sleeping with the pigs and feeding the pigs and taking care of the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. Verse 17 says, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called one of your sons.' But the father quickly said to his servants, or his father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they begin to celebrate." Now, I have the rest of it in the scripture, J-Dog, but I'm going to skip that part for right now. We may come back to it in a bit. But a couple of things that we see in the son and his characteristics is, the first thing we see in him is pride, how prideful he is. You see that? "I want everything that belongs to me. I want my stuff. I don't care that you're still here. I don't want you. I want your stuff." Do you know how many people have that thought process even today? "I don't want you, but I want your stuff," especially when it comes to God. Like, "I don't want you, God. I want the blessing that comes from being a part of your family. I don't want the relationship with you, but I want to do these things that I have to do in order to receive eternal life, or in order to receive this blessing that your scripture talks about." How many of you know the scripture talks about blessing that comes not in heaven, but now as well? We're supposed to walk in his blessing here as well. Let me give you this principle too. Just because you feel like you're walking in the blessing of God right now doesn't mean that you're in the family with him. Just think that thought. Because it says it rains on the just and the unjust. It says God blesses. You want to see how it says he stores up the treasures of the wicked for the righteous, which means the wicked are being blessed. See that thought? See that thing? So don't just look at, "There's blessing on my life from God, so I'm in the right place." Just a thought. But we see pride come into the son, where, how many of you know, when you're a teenager, you know all the answers, you got everything, and adults are dumb. It's not until you get to start to be an adult a little bit that you realize you had no clue what you was thinking about, right? The son here, it's like what my dad said. He's like, "Hey, while you got all the answers as a teenager, go ahead and move out, because you know everything and you got everything. You got this. Go ahead, because you're going to learn in a minute. You don't have it all," right? Pride comes before a fall. That's what the scripture says, Proverbs 16:18. It's one of the things about that I think is hilarious, not hilarious in a ha-ha way, hilarious in a that's not cool way, about all the movements that we have today. What are they? They're pride movements. Prideful. Scripture tells us that pride comes before the fall. And it's not just a certain group of people that I'm addressing right now. How many of you know Christians have some pride issues in their life they need to get rid of? We all have to battle with it. We all have the pride that comes up in our lives where we want to be like, "We're grown. We can do these things. Who are you to tell me stuff? Who are you to talk to me that way? I want what I deserve." And listen, look, you don't want what you deserve. We don't want what we deserve. We think we do. But we see the son take off. And at this time, I'm going to mix it up a little bit, J-Dog. I'm going to do what's point number four for you. But it's a different point for me. If you'll scroll down, I'm sorry, I'm changing up the order of stuff. At this moment when the son comes to the father and has the pride and says, I want this, give me this. Do you know that father at that moment had every opportunity to say, no, get away from me. He had every opportunity to say, no, that's not how it works. This is how it works. But he doesn't say that. We see the father give grace in the son, to the son, even in the midst of rebellion. Even in the midst of him saying, this is who I am. This is what I deserve. I don't want a relationship with you. I just want your stuff. He still gives him grace. The father loves the son regardless of his obedience level. You guys with me? So my kids, when they do something dumb, my kids never do anything dumb. When my kids do something dumb, I don't love them any less. Don't like what they did. I'll still take care of them. So one of the most freeing things that my father and mother have said to me over the years, and they've said it a couple times, but I've just recently understood it. You know how that works? They said, whatever decision you decide to make, I'm going to support you 100%. I'm going to be behind you 100%. Even if it's the wrong choice, I'm still going to be there with you. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to help you pick up the pieces. Even if I don't agree with what you're doing, I support you because I love you. Do you know God loves you regardless of what you're doing? God loves people that are outside these walls that haven't come to him. Do you know God loves them as much as he loves you and me? The scripture in that is Romans 5:8. It says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So even in my stupidity and my boneheadedness, God still loves me. God still sent his son so that I could have forgiveness. And I know you guys don't do dumb, boneheaded things, but if you did, God still loves you too. And one of the biggest lies of the enemy is to say, I've done too much. I can't be accepted. Do you know one of the lies that the church also propagates is that you've done too much? Don't you see where you're at? You don't belong here. Listen, man, I want people who got issues come here. I do. I don't want them to do their issue while they're in here. You see what I'm saying? I want them to hear the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to change them. It's not our job. It's not our job. Anyway, so the first characteristic of the son we see is pride, and the first characteristic of the father we see is grace in the midst of the pride. I tell y'all this, some of y'all have met my dad and know who he is, know that he's a very godly man. And in my thought process, if anybody's going to go to heaven, I know it's going to be him, right? Like, I got no doubts in my mind, right? Even if I would wonder about me, which I don't, but if I would, I wouldn't have any doubts about him. So when I first got saved and when I first came to Christ, I wanted to fix everybody. Well, I was fixed. God did it for me. So it wasn't from a bad, mean-spirited, you're horrible, you need to be fixed. It wasn't. It was this thing that I have. You need it too. Let me show you the areas that you're messed up in so you know you need it. Okay, that was wrong of me. But I used to call my dad, who'd been a minister for over 20 years. I was 25 at the time, and he had been a minister for before I was born. And I used to tell him he needed to find Jesus and get saved. Like, he didn't really truly understand what I understood. Do you know what he did in that moment? He said, oh, Tobe, I love you. In the midst of my stupidity, he gave me grace. Do you know where he learned that from? From our Father in heaven. from this story right here, where we see the son come in rebellion and in frustration. And look, man, my kid comes to me, tells me they want what they want. I'm like, get away from me, kid. Right? I need to work on myself. Just a thought. Hey, don't shake your head back there, kid. You stop. My 12-year-old better be like, yeah, Dad, you really need to work on yourself. I like that little girl. Look, this is a squirrel, y'all. Ain't got nothing to do with church. I like that little girl in the back seat of her car, and she's trying to fix her thing. How many of you watch funny, dumb stuff? She's sitting in the back seat, and Dad's like, can I help you? She's like, you worry about yourself. And she's trying to clean. Like, he's like, you worry about yourself. He's like, well, what can I do? Worry about yourself, right? Anyway, that's what I think of. Sorry, my brain's weird. I know that's where I go. But anyway, so we're going to come to the next characteristic of the son that we see finally in the story. And it's one of those things that we need to pray people end up in that position. Not in a field feeding pigs, right? Not flat on their back looking up at God. But how many of you know, I didn't start looking up to him until I was flat on my back. I didn't give him a second thought. Matter of fact, I did, but it was the wrong thoughts, right? If you guys remember my story and know who I am. One of the things that we see here in Luke chapter 11. Yeah. No. Chapter 15, remember? I told you I messed it up. Chapter 15. I'm still trying to put it in 11. 17 through 19, it says, but when he came to himself, there came a point where he said, wait a minute, this isn't who I'm supposed to be. This is not who I am. I'm not the guy that stays in the field with the pigs wanting to have something. I have a father who has everything and treats his servants amazingly. Now, I don't deserve anything from him, but I'm going to go to him and say, I know I don't deserve anything, but if you'll just put me in the corner, it'll be okay. Do you know, there's a realization that happened in his mind at that moment where he said, I need my father. Do you know, each and every one of us, hopefully, prayerfully, has made that realization that I don't like where I am at. I don't like who I've become, where I've taken myself to, and only my father can fix it. Only my father can fix it. It says he came to a realization. He came to a realization. But when he came to himself, he said, do you know what the father did while he was waiting for that realization to come? The characteristic until this moment was there, the father showed patience with his son. Says he was at home. Now, this is some people told me I read into the story, but that's okay. I like what I say when I read into the story on this one. But the father saw the son a long way off. So in my mind, the father was looking for the son to come home. He was waiting patiently. Notice he didn't chase him down. He didn't say, I'm dragging you by the hair, bring you home. He didn't say, you're rotten, you did all this dumb stuff. The father was waiting for the return of the son. And this is one of the scriptures that I find peace in my heart about, in my own life. Peter, 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10 says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but he is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and be dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. So one of the things that I take comfort in is that even though I do dumb stuff, God has patience. You know, I wish sometimes that whenever I gave my life to Christ, he just immediately took me to heaven. That way I couldn't do dumb stuff anymore. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You know, there's a process that happens in our lives that God brings us through. And if you understand from a father to a son or a daughter, or even from a mother to a son and a daughter, that your kids aren't perfect, that they mess things up, that you know sometimes you let them mess things up because that's the only way they're going to learn. Now, don't let them just go play out in the street so they know not to get hit by a car. Let's put it in moderation, right? Let's back it up and start on the small stuff first, right? But you know, we need to have patience with our kids as they're going through different issues and stages and things that they go through the same way that our Heavenly Father has with us. Now, how many of you know there's always a different side to the coin? Same coin, different side. There comes a point where it stops becoming patience and becomes enablement. Okay? You need to pray and ask God to show you what that is and how to navigate through it. Amen? But when we look at the Son, there was a realization, and until the Son came to that, the Father had patience with the Son. He waited on him. He waited on him. He waited on him. Now we're going to come back to the Son. It says he came. I'm going to read this part again. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Worthy to be called your son. There was a point where the son walked in humility. The pride was gone and humility came. Do you know the only way we get to come to God is in humility? The only way. The only way we get to come to him. There's a scripture in James 4:6. It says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Gives grace to the humble. The son said, I understand what I've done. I understand I don't deserve these things. I still want you. I still want you. You know, there needs to come a time in our lives as children of God that we need to be humble. That we need to humble ourselves. And what the scripture says just after that, it says, submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. There's a point where we need to come to the Father and say, I understand I'm not who I'm supposed to be. Do you know, again, and I've said this time and time before, y'all probably getting tired of it, but in any of the recovery programs that there are, even if you go to counseling and those different things that aren't a recovery program, the first thing they want to find is, where are you at right now in your mind? Where are you at? Because until we understand where we're at, we can't leave. We can't move from there. And I use it like this. There's a GPS, right? You put GPS in your car. I use it on my phone. I use Waze because it tells me where the police are. Don't judge me. I'm just telling you. So, so I put it in there. But do you know when I put it in there and I say, hey, I want to go here, and it says searching for signal, searching for signal, searching for signal. And then if it doesn't catch a signal, it says we can't help you because we don't know where you're at. Right? Think of me understanding and saying, this is where I am in my life. This is where I'm at. God, I understand I have these issues. I have these problems. He can work with us then. Blind Bartimaeus. Hey, man, what do you want? I'm like, well, I'm not blind. Well, I don't need to heal you from blindness then. Let's do something different, right? No. He said, what do you want? What do you need? Where are you at? He said, I'm blind. I want to see. Do you know that Jesus, if he saw him at all, he knew he was blind? Do you know why? Probably because of his eyes, but two, because he had a beggar's coat. We've talked about this before. That beggar's coat says, I'm blind. It's okay for me to beg. Right? That's why he threw the coat off. He didn't need it anymore. Remember, we've talked about that? But this is what happened. Jesus already knew. The man laying by the pool, he's like, what's wrong with you? He's like, I'm lame. I've been this way since I was a kid. Jesus could see his body didn't work properly. He was laying there for a reason. But what did he want? He wanted him to say, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm at. Do you know God is waiting for us to come in humility and say, God, this is where I'm at. I can't move forward unless it's you that does it. He comes to the son, to the Father and says, I need you. Humility. And what does the Father give him in return? A swift kick. I told you not to do that. I told you if you left out that door, you could never come home. No, that's not what he did. He accepted him into the family. He said, you are not a servant. You are my son. He put a ring on him. You know what that ring says? That says anything, any business my father has, I can handle. I can take care of. This, I'm part of the family. If he says it, I can say it, and it works. That's how those rings worked. You guys know that? You had a ring of the father, you could do whatever business in his name. That's how it worked. Look it up. It's there. So what he was saying was, you're not a servant. You're not just somebody that's going to stay in my house. You're not even somebody that we're going to put on probation for a little bit to see if you're going to act right before you get to come back in. He said, no, you're my son. You will always be my son, and I want you in my home. 1 John 1:9, yeah. Says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, confess our sins. What is that? This is where I'm at. I need healing. This is who I am right now. I see that. And do you know what? If you don't see the issues and the wrong you got in your life, ask him. Be careful. He's going to tell you. You might not like it. But I'd rather be disciplined and be frustrated with who I am right now and have the ability to change than to stay who I am. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but I need God's forgiveness in my life. So what does that mean for you and I? That means we need to come to him in humility. We need to come to him saying, I know I don't have all the answers. I know I don't have everything together. I read your word and sometimes I don't. How many of you read his word? Sometimes you just don't get it. Like you just don't get it. Like what? Like I don't even know what he's saying. Do you know? Do I? Paul. Yeah. Some Paul stuff is difficult. I wish he made it a lot simpler. Like, do this, do that, and you're good. Right? That's not how it works. Right? It is. I mean, they're in there. You just got to find them. I love that scripture that we talk about. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to seek it out. Proverbs, I think 25:5 or something. 25:2, 25 something. It's in there. It's in Proverbs. Look it up. But there's a lot of things that are there for us, but because we don't know they're there, we don't have access to them in our lives. That's why it's important to read your word. That's why it's important to get in there. I'm going to read this scripture, and I need somebody, Sid, if you'll run next door and tell your mom that I'm about to close up, I'm about to stop, and the gift stuff, just remind her about that. I know she knows already, but Romans 8:13-17, I'm going to read this, and I want us to understand this. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You see how this scripture here goes back into this thing that the son said? The son said, I don't deserve to be a family member. Just make me like one of your slaves. Just make me like one of your servants. He said, I didn't give you a spirit to have you fall into slavery, to have you fall into I gave you this so that you are sons. And when he says sons, he means sons and daughters. Let me make that clear. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. If I have his acceptance, if I have his ring, I'm an heir, and everything that belongs to him belongs to me. See, that's one of the things about at my dad's house. If I go to him, I'm like, Dad, can I borrow that? Can I use that? He's like, yep, well, everything I got is yours. That's my earthly father. What does it say about earthly fathers being evil? How much more will the heavenly father give? Now, I know my dad's not evil, but I understand the principle that whatever my earthly father would do, my heavenly father would do way more. He's able to do way more. Scripture says then we can ask or think, right? He's able to do more. He says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified. Do you know what that is? Suffering with him, laying down our lives and saying, I'm going to follow you. I want what you want. Death, burial, and resurrection of the flesh, of self. Do you guys know that? You know that's why we do baptism, right? It's not the belief that we have here. There's many different beliefs. How many know people believe all different kind of things? But in my mind, and the way we, that we preach it here and do it here, is it is a symbol of what Christ has already done in my life. The death and burial of the old man and the resurrection into newness of life. Do you know that, my opinion again, read scripture, I believe it bears it out. When I ask for forgiveness and confess my sins, he takes them away. Scripture said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. He doesn't say if you confess your sins and didn't do these six things, you're okay. Right? And there's people that will debate that, and I understand the scriptures they get it from. That's okay. I'm not here to debate it. I'm telling you what I believe in it and what I see. And I understand that when I, the moment I cry out to my father and say, I need you, he says, you are my son and I love you. Come home. Come home. Today, man, we have an opportunity not only to celebrate our earthly fathers, but more importantly, to give honor to our Heavenly Father who loves us. Do you know what? When you go on and read the rest of that story, I want you to do it later. Remember, it's in Luke chapter 15, not chapter 11. You look at chapter 11, you're not going to find it. It's not there. But I want you to read chapter 15, 25 through 32 is the rest of that story where the brother gets really, really mad because the dad's throwing him a party. He's like, I've been here this whole time. Listen, don't be the grumpy older brother. Let's use this newfound family, the newfound idea, thought process that I am one of the family and I can do business for the Father, to go out into this world and do business for the Father. What is that business? The ministry of reconciliation that you and I have. The ministry to tell other people how good God is. Well, how do I do it? How do you do anything else? Talk to them. More importantly, live it, because they see it more than they hear it. They should. I'm saying they should see it more than they hear it. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Father God. We ask that you would help us now to see you. We ask that our pride would be taken away from us. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you give us the peace in our hearts. You give us freedom from the issues that we have in our lives, and that you let us see you move and work in our lives and use us more than ever to reach our brothers and our sisters. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.